بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. To proceed, inshallah, today we will continue with our series on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his character. This is more like a shama'il book, which is character book, character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The book is called Muhammad, As If You Can See Him, and it is by Dr. A'ib al-Qarni, and published by the International Islamic Publishing House. Today we are on page 41, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the generous one. Last time we covered Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the patient one. This time we will cover Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the generous one. So, Dr. Adil Karni has his social style. It's somewhat emotional. It is addressing more Muslims than non-Muslims. So it is fine to be emotional. Of all of Allah's created beings, none has been ever as generous as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Saying emotional does not mean it is exaggeration. It is true, it's accurate, it is sort of a phrase presented emotionally. There are reasons, he says, he was sent to adorn himself and others with noblest of manners. He expected nothing in return, and most importantly, he trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. Those are the three reasons that would make him the most generous of all people. He was sent to adorn himself and those who follow him with the noblest of manners, and generosity is of the greatest manners, and greatest, you know, measures of people's conduct and people's righteousness and so on. And he did not expect anything in return. So he would be generous with all people regardless of how they respond. And most importantly, he trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. And if you do, then you will not fear from poverty. If you do, you will not fear from poverty. But he did not fear poverty. Okay. If you try to look at it, if you try to look at why should someone be generous? Why should someone be generous? What reasons would you come up with for being generous? Okay, to help the poor. So you need to be compassionate. You need to be compassionate towards the poor and the people in general. Yeah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them as لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. A messenger had come to you from amongst yourselves. Your resistance is hard on him. It is hard on him that you be resistant. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, keen on your interest. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He is compassionate towards the believers and merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took of his names to and gave them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not in their absolute sense, but like with Allah he is الرَّؤُوف الرَّحِيمٌ. But in the relative sense, رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He is compassionate towards the believers and merciful. But certainly when Allah describes them with those two names of Allah's attributes in the Qur'an, there is no bigger testimony than this. So the compassion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the compassion. What else would make you generous? Because some people could be compassionate, but they may not be generous, necessarily. In order for you to be generous, you need to have zuhd in the zuhd, which is indifference towards money to some extent, or asceticism, which is the disinterest in money, disinterest in hoarding money, particularly disinterest in hoarding money. So you have to be a zahid to be generous, to be really generous. We're talking about a level of generosity here that is matchless. So you need to be compassionate, and that the Prophet ﷺ had more than anything else. You need to be also zahid, because not only that you'll be compassionate, you want to give, but you do not care about taking out of your wealth and giving to others, so you're indifferent towards the money. You have this interest in hoarding the money, and there was nothing, you know, there is no one to be compared to the Prophet ﷺ in this particular regard. In fact, Bukhari reports from Ibn al-Sadiullah anhu that when money came from al-Bahrain, the Prophet ﷺ came out and he found the money that had come from al-Bahrain. But Bahrain during that time used to be the whole eastern province or the whole eastern area of the peninsula. So he was brought money from a Bahrain that he had never been brought the like of which. You know, the greatest, you know, amount of money he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was brought from a Bahrain. So he walked out from, you know, and he completely فَلَمْ يَلْتَفِدْ إِلَيْهِ قُتِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمَالٍ الْبَحْرَيْنِ لم يؤت بمال أعظم منه فلم يلتفت إليه حتى أتى الصلاة فصلى ثم قسمه بين الناس. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was brought money from Bahrain, but he had never been brought a similar amount ever. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم walked out and he did not look at it. He completely ignored it and walked to the prayer until he prayed, and then he divided the money between the people. فَلَمْ يَبْقَ أَحَدْ إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So no one was left except that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave him from this money. حَتَّى مَا بَقِيَ هُنَاكَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ Until there was nothing left of the money. So the Prophet ﷺ did not leave a single coin for himself. But he gave it, he gave all the money after the Salah. So if you look at this, there are lots of lessons to learn here from this particular hadith. One of the lessons is the Prophet ﷺ wanted to teach them a lesson about the importance of money by ignoring the money first when he came across it. When he first saw it, an amount of money that has never been witnessed by them before, and he ignored it, and he proceeded to pray, and then after the prayer, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spent it all and kept not a single coin for himself or his family. So that shows you the zuhd, the disinterest in money, the indifference towards money. Yes, money is good to have it, to spend it in ways that are good, but the disinterest in hoarding it, the disinterest in having it or possessing it for hoarding was quite obvious in the Prophet's generosity. So now, the compassion is one thing. You need to be compassionate. You need to be interested in people's well-being. So, and compassionate and sort of sympathize with their agony, their poverty, their pain, etc. And you need to have this interest in hoarding the money. So you need those two things. But do you need something else? You need to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave you without shelter, will not leave you without sustenance. You will not starve to death. You will not be naked. You will not be shelterless. So you need to have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have certainty in Him and trust. And then certainly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the paragon of dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reliance عن الله سبحانه وتعالى. So all of those are criteria that you need to have to be most generous. Now we mentioned three: to be compassionate, to be zahid, so you're don't worry about the money yourself, compassionate, and to have trust in Allah that Allah will replace this money, or Allah will not leave you without food or shelter, or Allah will care for you, take care of you, and so on. What else do you need to be most generous? Yeah, which is to trust Allah that Allah will not leave you without shelter and food, and Allah will take care of you, and so on, is important. But you need also to have your ultimate objective, the pleasure of Allah. Why is it so to be most generous? Because most generous would be generous across the board, generous with all people, generous no matter what, no matter what response you get from the people, generous for no other motive but the pleasure of Allah. And the pleasure of Allah is guaranteed. If you're generous, the pleasure of Allah is guaranteed. But if you have any other motive, you're compassionate, you don't really care much about money, you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you have other motives, or your sincerity is not perfect. Your sincerity is not perfect. Not even about other motives, but if the sincerity is imperfect. I'll give you an example. It's a beautiful example of an A'rabi. Anas reports, this was reported by Bukhari from Anas radiallahu anhu, that an A'rabi, a Bedouin, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By the way, I tried to do this on the way here so that we can cruise without interruptions, get all of my emotions out, but it may not work. Okay, so Anas radiallahu anhu says rough upper garment from Najran. So the Bedouin grabbed the Prophet from his collar and pulled him and said, Ya Muhammad qatani min mali alladhi indak la min mali abika wala ummik. Oh Muhammad, give me from the money of Allah that you possess, that you have, not from the money of either father or mother. Like, you know, look, this is just like Anas ibn Malik says, حتى أثر الرداء بعاتقي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, until I saw the mark of the pull on the shoulder of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So what did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, or what did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم do? فضحك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمر له بعطاء. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled and he ordered that they give him عطاء, which is they give him from the money. They give him, they sort of grant him his petition or request. And this particular act of generosity, even if you're compassionate, compassion doesn't work here. This is not like a person that you would feel compassionate towards, right? Even if you don't have, if you have this interest, zuhd. But again, you know, look at what he did. You know, even if I don't care about the money, I personally, you know, I would, unless I really remember this, I try to, you know, follow the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But if I have this interest in the money and everything, I would, you know, I'll throw it away in the garbage and I'll give it to him. But you need something more than this interest in the money. You need something more than compassion. You need something more than trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will give you more, and He will take care of you. You need to have complete sincerity, and your motive should be only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to give to a man like this, in a scenario like this. So you need that. What is the last reason that would make you generous? Remember those, because you need to exercise generosity, and you need to sort of, exercise. In order for you to become most generous, you need to have this interest in hoarding money, you need to have this compassion, you need to have this trust in Allah, you need to have your intentions straightened out. And the last one is not the most important, it may be the least important, and it does not necessarily make you most generous, but it helps you demonstrate the generosity to have money, to have what you will give. Why is it not the most important? Why is it not the most important? Because it is not the most important because even when the Prophet ﷺ had so little, he still gave out what he had. So even when he did not have the money, he gave out what he had. But certainly to have the money will enable you to demonstrate that great generosity. In fact, the Muslim reports hadith that an Arabi came to the Prophet ﷺ, and there was a fleck of sheep between two mountains, covered a valley between two mountains. So the Arabi knew the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ and came and asked him to, or hinted to him, to give him of the sheep. So the Prophet ﷺ said, take them all. And the Arabi almost did not believe it, but the Prophet ﷺ insisted, take them all, because he saw the amount of interest that the Arabi had in having those sheep. He is extremely interested. So he said, take them all. So the Arabi went back to his people and said, يَا قَوْمِ أَسْلِمُوا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا So he said, يَا قَوْمِ أَسْلِمُوا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم يُعْطِي عَطَاءَ مَنْ لَا يَخْشَى الْفَقْرِ All my people be Muslims or enter into Islam, for Muhammad gives like one who does not fear from poverty. You have to understand that this is the peninsula. It's a barren desert. It's a harsh, austere environment that does not enable people to act this way. People actually go through droughts on a regular basis and famines and so on and so forth. So to be that generous in that particular environment is extremely difficult. So he said to his people, oh my people, be Muslims or enter into Islam, for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives like one who does not fear from poverty. So the fact that the Prophet had that money, had the capacity to give that much, did not make him more generous, but enabled the demonstration of that generosity in reality. So those are the five reasons. Because the Prophet Tirmidhi says, because the Prophet ﷺ possessed the above mentioned qualities, he became the very personification of generosity. An Arab poet once noted that the Prophet ﷺ would have altogether forsaken the word no. I don't know that this was mentioned about the Prophet ﷺ. Was mentioned about Ali Zayn al-Abidin ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, this particular verse. But Ali Zayn al-Abidin is only a ray from the son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is his grandson. And al-Farazdaq said, ما قال لا قط إلا في تشهده لولا التشهد كانت لا أهو نعم. He never said no, except in his Bishahmud. That's about one of the grandsons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But, you know, the mention here, it has not been authentically reported about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the Farazdaq's statement about his grandson. He had never said no. He had never said no, except in his tashahhud. That's the testimony of faith. There is no God but Allah. That's the only no he said. No God but Allah. That's the only no he said. لَوْلَا التَّشَهُّدْ كَانَتْ لَأُهُ نَعْمُ. Had it not been for the tashahhud, his no would have been a yes. Like he would have not had a no in his dictionary. Because of his generosity. Because I would never say no to anyone. Like I said, no matter how he needed or how he liked the thing, he would not hesitate once to give it away. In fact, one day a woman made him an izar, which is a lower garment, because she had seen that his izar had, you know, worn out, and she made him an izar that he liked. And once he wore it, a man came by and asked him for it. So a man came by and asked him for it. So the Prophet went inside his home and took it off, and he put his old Izar back on and came out with his with that new Izar and gave it to the man. So when the Sahaba blamed them for taking the Izar, the new Izar that the Prophet had shown liking for, he said, he said, by Allah, I did not take it to wear it. But I wanted to be shrouded in it when I left. Okay. And then he goes on and says, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed generosity, he expected nothing in return. Which again sorts out the person who has completed the devotion and the person who has altered impure motives. So many people would expect something in return. Not necessarily a gift, not necessarily money, not necessarily anything, but maybe thank you. But the Prophet never expected the thank you. And this hadith of the Arabi who pulled them from his garment shows you that not only that he did not expect anything, but no matter what you did, and how crude or rude or cruel you could be, he always showed generosity. If the Prophet had nothing, when someone asked him for something, he would find something to give him. And when he had very little himself, he would give away what little he had. In fact, sometimes he used to borrow money to give. His home was the Mecca of old travelers and strangers who would come by and be hosted at his home. If we're looking at some of the aspects of his generosity, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would not make you wait. He would not make you wait if you're needy until you ask him. He would go to you. He would try to get to read the cues. Like Bukhari reports that one time the Prophet ﷺ saw Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in fact it's reported by Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ saw the signs of hunger on Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, so he gave him a pail that had milk and asked him to drink, or a vessel that had milk and asked him to drink, and then Abu Huraira kept on drinking, and then would give it back to the Prophet, and the Prophet says, would give it back to him and would say, you know, drink more, until Abu Huraira said, Wallahi, وَلَذِي بَعْفَكَ بِحَقِّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا عَدِيدُ لَهَا مَسْلَكَ. And by him who sent you with the truth, I don't find any room for anymore milk. So he would read the cues, and he would be sensitive enough to rush to the help of people before they ask him. One time, also, he, and that's reported by Bukhari and Muslim, that Jabir, radiallahu anhu, was about to get married. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanted to help him, and, you know, so he wanted to give him money, and instead of giving him a gift, so he wanted to give him money. So what the Prophet ﷺ did, they were outside of Medina, they were coming back to Medina. The Prophet went to Jabir and asked him to sell him his camel. And Jabir needed his camel. But the Prophet offered him a good price. Beside the good price, it was like the honor of being a party and a contract with the Prophet ﷺ is also great. So Jabir agreed to sell his camel. But he stated the condition that, you know, he would keep the camel until he goes back to Medina, because he needs it to get them back to Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ agreed. And so the Prophet ﷺ intended is actually to not give the camel, it was just to give him the 4 dinars. So he gave him the 4 dinars and waited on the, you know, the camel. And then once they reached the Medina, He told Bilal to go to Jabir. And to tell him to keep his camel and to give him more money. Like to tell him his camel is worth more. And give him more money, and but keep the camel. So, and then, you know, so that is... So that is like rushing to the help of people. تَرَهُ إِذَا مَعْدِئْتَهُ مُتَهَلِّلًا كَأَنَّكَ تُعْطِيهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَ سَائِلُهُ. You see him cheerful and happy when you come to ask him, as if you're giving him that which you're asking. As if you are giving him that which you're asking. The generosity of the Prophet ﷺ did not stop at any limit. So it did not stop, you know, it was not only with his companions and you know, loved ones. It was also even with his enemies. So Bukhari reports that Abdullah ibn Ubayd was the chief of the hypocrites in Medina. His son was a good believer, was a great Sahabi and a great believer. So when the hypocrite died, when the chief of the hypocrites died, his son came by and asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said, يا رسول الله أعطني قميصك أكفنه فيه وصلي عليه واستغفر. استغفر له. So, O Messenger of Allah, give me your garment so that I can shroud him in it. So like any son, you know, certainly he knew that his father was wicked, but like any son, he has feelings for his father. He has compassion. It's amazing that some of us Muslims don't have compassion for our Muslim fathers. And this man was the chief of the hypocrites, and he knew that he was the chief of the hypocrites, so that he had, you know, feelings for his father who died. So he came to the prophet to ask him for the prophet's own chamis, or thobe, the garment, so that he can shroud his father in it. So the prophet immediately gave him his chamis to be shrouded in it. If you just go back a little bit, it was not too long ago that Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul was the mastermind behind Hadith al-Ifk, or the accusation of Aisha radiallahu anha. Yet the generosity of the Prophet did not really observe those borders, even if we have to threat the friends and enemy. And there's another aspect of the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ, which is that he was not only generous with his money, and that is extremely important also. So he was generous, he was ultimately generous, he did not hold back. He was generous with the friend and the foe. He was generous in good times and hard times. But not only that, but it was not only about money, but it was pretty much about everything. You know, he spent his life tirelessly to give this da'wah. So there is the generosity with concern. Do you know that this is an important aspect of generosity, to have concern for the people, to be concerned about their well-being and their welfare. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even says to him in the Quran, فَعَلَّكَ بَكِعُ النَّفْسِكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. You're about to destroy yourself of grief because they are not becoming believers. So that a deep concern that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had. There is actually a beautiful hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ إِلَّا كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ جَعَلَ الْفَرَاشُ وَهَذِهِ الدَّوَابُّ الَّتِي يَقَعْنَ فِي النَّارِ يَقَعْنَ فِيهَا يَتَقَحَّمْنَهَا فَجَعَلَ يَنْزِعُهُنَّ فيغلبنه وأنا آخذ بحجزكم من النار وأنتم تغلبوني تقحمون فيها. So my likeness with you is like a man who kindled the fire, and then the flies and the other insects that fall into fire started to fall into the fire, and then he started to pull them away, and then they would overwhelm him into the fire, and they would fall into the fire. And I am holding you back from your waistlines, hajazikum, waistlines. I'm holding you back from your waistlines to keep. To keep you away from the fire, and you overpower me and fall into it. And you overpower me and fall into it. So that is his likeness, you know. That he's running after, you know, his ummah. With deep concern, trying to pull them back from falling into the fire. And they were those of them who were sinners. They overpower him, and they insist on falling into the fire. So generosity was concerned. The Prophet ﷺ never, you know, spared a moment, except that he had great concern for his people, his ummah, and concern that was followed by action. Generosity with his time. Generosity with his time. So, you know, when you talk to him, he would not leave you until you leave. When you shake hands with him, he would not pull his hand out until you do. He had no guard at his door. No guard at his door. When he had suffered tragedy, no guard. People would come to him at any time and knock on his door. And Anas, this is also a beautiful hadith reported by Bukhari, and narration of it is in Abi Dawood. Anas says that كانت الجارية كانت الأمة من إناء أهل المدينة تأخذ بيد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فتنطلق به حيث تشاء أو فتنطلق به في حاجتها في رواية. That an ama is a little girl that could also be a slave girl. He used to take the Prophet ﷺ from his hand and run away with him, or from talit, which means go away with him to wherever she wanted. To wherever she wanted. And another report, for whatever need she had. For whatever need she had. So, so generosity with his time. So he would let this, small bit of her take him from his hand, and she may have some concern about something that's completely trivial. He wasn't asked. She would take him and he would come. And he would go with her, and this is the most most important man in the history of mankind. So generosity with his time. Generosity also, even with his status, so it was reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as Abu Dawud reports from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, يَا بَنِي بَيَاضَةَ أَنْكِحُوا أَبَا هِنْدٍ وَأَنْكِحُوا إِلَيْهِ وَبَنِي بَيَاضَةَ give your daughters in marriage to Abi Hind and marry his daughters. So Abu Hind used to be hajjam, hijama cupping. So Abu Hind used to be that. And hijama used to be very looked down at profession during their time. So people would not really want to marry their kids, their daughters to hijama at all. That's probably like the counterpart of a physician nowadays. But people wouldn't really want to marry their kids to their daughters to hijama at all. So the Prophet would stand from his status to intervene, to mediate on behalf of a poor man like this, to get him married. That he not only did this for Abi Hind, but for others as well. So that is pending from your own status and from the reserve that you have on the hearts of people. That's a type of generosity as well. So generosity with time, generosity with concern, generosity with status, generosity with money, and all around, he was the epitome of generosity until the one da'wah that is answerable by any prophet, he saved it for his own money, did not use it. So that's even generosity with this one answerable da'wah that each prophet was entitled to. Kulu qawli hadha astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk.